on the hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners. So we speak a bit slower, and we use words and sentences especially written for people learning English.
On today's show, we begin with two stories about job markets that are recovering from the pandemic. First, on the Education Report, Dan Friedel talks about new college graduates in the U.S. looking for work. Then Dr. Jill Robbins talks about the job market for women in Senegal. I will return with this week's words and their stories. And we will finish our 30 minutes together with our U.S. National Parks series. Today, Katie Weaver and Ashley Thompson tell us about Yosemite National Park. But first, the Education Report.
1 year ago, college graduates in the U.S. were worried about their futures. After 4 years of study, they were ready to find jobs. But the economy was weak because of restrictions on businesses and travel meant to limit the spread of the new coronavirus. Few employers were offering jobs. Some students found that promises of work were canceled. Many 2020 graduates stayed at home for the last year, wondering when they would begin their careers. Now, however, college students are about to graduate into an economy that is coming back to life. Alicia St. Germain is one example. She is graduating soon from the University of Minnesota. Last year, she lost a part-time job at a bookstore when many businesses closed because of the pandemic. This year, she already has plans for a new job when she graduates. After studying child psychology, she will be working at a new childcare center in St. Paul, one of the large cities in Minnesota. This is probably the most positive thing that could happen, she said. Brad Hirschbein is an economist for the Upjohn Institute in Michigan. He said this recession will not be as bad as others for new college graduates. Jobs that college graduates can do from home are becoming available. He said it may be harder for people without college degrees. Elise Gould is an economist at the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. While there are lots of jobs, she said, it may still be hard for some college graduates to find just the right job. Because there is a large pool of unemployed workers, companies can pick exactly who they want and skip over people with less experience. During a recession, some college graduates take lower-paying jobs. The jobs do not always require a degree. The problem with young people taking these jobs is that they will likely make less money for the first 10 years of their career. But experts say there are many good jobs out there for people just starting. Sheila Jordan is the Chief Digital Technology Officer for Honeywell, a large American manufacturer. Jordan said she hopes to employ current students and those about to graduate as trainees. They are called interns. She then hopes to hire them again as employees once they graduate or finish training. She said she is looking for students who have experience with computer software, data analysis, and computer security. That's a feeder group for us, she said about the students. Some students feel good about the future. Dominique Davis is about to finish school at Tennessee State University. She was an intern, or a trainee, for the carmaker Toyota. She worked at the company's American headquarters in Texas in 2019. She continued her internship last summer from her parents' home in Illinois. Although she was working in another state, she made an effort to meet people at Toyota by making a lot of video calls. She even talked with the vice president of her department almost every day. I think I networked even more this term than being in the building, she said. It forces you to reach out. It's less awkward. Meeting new people to expand your career is called networking. Davis is planning to go to graduate school next year, but she said she knows schoolmates who are looking for a job and are going into a difficult time. I have heard of multiple students who are having trouble getting interviews or internships, Davis said. There have been fewer job choices for students who are looking for careers in other countries or in organizations like museums. Foreign travel and public spaces have mostly been closed for more than a year. Lucius Giannini graduated last year and wanted to work for the Peace Corps or teach English outside of the U.S. Most foreign travel was impossible during the pandemic. His schoolmate, Natalie Naranjo Moret, will graduate next month from the University of California in San Diego. She studied history. She said, it has been hard to find jobs at museums or other places where she can put to use what she learned in school. A study by the American Alliance of Museums said about one-third of museums are worried about their future. Some think they may close for good by the autumn. I'm Dan Friedel.
Thanks, Dan. Now, let's hear from Dr. Jill Robbins.
Since her birth near Senegal's coast, the ocean has always given Ndiaye Yacine Dieng life. Her grandfather was a fisherman, and her grandmother and mother processed fish. Like generations of women, she now helps support her family in the small community of Barney. The women dry, smoke, salt, and preserve the catch brought home by male villagers. But when the pandemic hit, only a few men went out to sea. Many people were too afraid to leave their houses or go out to fish for fear of catching the virus. When the local women did get fish to process, there was no one to buy them. Markets had closed. Neighboring countries had closed their borders. Without savings, many families went from 3 meals a day to 1 or 2. Dieng is among more than 1,000 women in Barney, and many more in other villages along Senegal's coast, who process fish. Fish exports are an important part of the economy for Senegal. The industry employs hundreds of thousands of its citizens. The fish provide more than half of the protein eaten by Senegal's 16 million people. It was catastrophic. All of our lives changed, Dieng said. But she noted, our community is a community of solidarity. Last month was the first fishing season since the pandemic began. It brings a new hope to the processors, their families, and the village. The brightly painted wooden fishing boats are again carrying men to the sea. Crowds wait on the beach to help the fishermen carry in their catch. The coronavirus is not the only problem the people of Senegal face. Rising seas and climate change threaten the livelihoods and homes of people on the coast. They do not have enough money to build new homes or move away. Near Barney's Beach, builders work on new factories to make steel and cement. These raise fears about pollution, but supporters say they are necessary. Dieng and the other processors use old ways to do their work. New factories that process fish pay more for the fish and produce a fish powder used for animal food. Before the pandemic, a good season could bring Dieng about $1,000. Last year, she said, she made little to nothing. She depended on the help of neighbors and her family. Since there is COVID, we live in fear, said Dieng, 64, who has several adult children. Most of the people here, and women processors, have lived a difficult life. She said they are very tired, but now, little by little, it's getting better. Dieng has become a local leader and informal teacher. She and others are now part of a rising group of women in Senegal, working for change along the coast and beyond. Dieng's neighbor, Fatou Samba, is a town leader and president of the Association of Women Processors of Fish Products. She speaks in public about the problems facing the traditional fish industry. She hopes to stop much of the growth of big industry as fishmeal companies take large amounts of fish and send the product to Europe and Asia. If we let ourselves be outdone, within 2 or 3 years, women will not have work anymore, Samba said. We are not against the creation of a project that will develop Senegal, but we are against projects that must make women lose the right to work. Especially in Africa, women are fighters, women are workers, women are family leaders, Samba said. Therefore, women must be empowered. Late last month, fishermen finally came back to Barney with fish in their boats. Dieng and others hurried to meet them on the beach. She bought a load of fish and took it to the piece of land she and friends claimed. Then she started the work she's known for many years. They put the fish on the sand and covered them in peanut shells, which they burned. Smoke filled the air. The women stepped away after making sure the fire would continue burning. After a day or so, they returned to turn the fish and let it dry in the sun. Another day passed, and the women returned to clean it. Finally, they packed the fish in large nets and sold it. Others took fish away in trucks. She speaks to the other women, hoping they will stay in the industry. It's our gold. This site is all. This site is everything for us, Dieng said of the coast and its importance to Barney. All the women must rise up. We must work. To always work and work again for our tomorrows, for our future. I'm Jill Robbins.
Now, words and their stories. From VOA Learning English.
When we talk about weather, a whirlwind is a very strong wind that moves in a spinning or swirling motion. Whirlwinds can cause great damage to trees, buildings, and other types of property. They can be violent, but they can also happen in a limited area and for a limited time. We can use whirlwind to describe things in our lives, too. These things happen in a confused rush. For example, a whirlwind day is filled with back-to-back activities. And all those activities happen very quickly. It is a frenzy. Let's say your life has suddenly become very busy. You can say, "Ugh, lately my life has been a whirlwind." This can be good or bad. In life, whirlwinds involve many quickly changing events and feelings. Again, it is hard to keep track of everything that is happening. Sometimes we use whirlwind with other words, such as activity. For example, during elections, the senator's office was always a whirlwind of activity. You can also make that activity specific. You can say, "The office was a whirlwind of political activity." Let's say you had a day filled with a whirlwind of meetings. You had so many meetings that the day is a blur. All the meetings happened quickly and seemed to run together. You can also use this word as an adjective. It describes something that is like a whirlwind, especially in speed or force. So if you find success as a singer, you may find yourself having a whirlwind worldwide tour one day. One day, you may also find yourself in a whirlwind romance. This type of romance happens fast and is very exciting. Whirlwind romances usually are good subjects in movies. In real life, they may happen fast, seem crazy, and then end just as fast. Like a weather whirlwind. That is quite a tongue twister. Weather whirlwind. Here's another example. I don't really like shopping, unless it's for food. But once I had to go shopping to prepare for a friend's wedding. I had to buy a fancy dress, fancy shoes, and other fancy things to look, you know, fancy. I went to a big department store and was a whirlwind of careless shopping. After I left, every area was a mess. A whirlwind can also describe something that happens violently and causes damages. Let's say I have a friend who is beautiful, but is also a bit of a mess. Things always seem to go a little crazy with Cornelia. But you can't tell men that. They just don't listen. So I've stopped trying. When men want to date her, I've learned just to mind my own business and watch the craziness happen. So a whirlwind can be both a good or bad rush of activity. We here at VOA Learning English are a whirlwind of English teaching programs. Hopefully for you, that's a good thing. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo. Now let's get ready for another visit to a U.S. national park with our park guides, Katie Weaver and Ashley Thompson.
Today, we visit one of the most famous national parks in America. You can find it in the Sierra Nevada Mountains of the western state of California. It is one of the most stunning places in the country. Its name is Yosemite. Yosemite National Park is a place of extremes. It has high mountains. It has valleys formed by ancient ice that cut deep into the earth millions of years ago. Water from high in the mountains falls in many places to the Green Valley far below. There are 13 waterfalls in Yosemite Valley. One of these falls, Yosemite Falls, is the fifth highest on Earth. Up in the mountains are clear lakes, fast-moving rivers, and huge rock formations. One rock is called Half Dome. It rises more than 2,700 meters into the air.
More than 60 kinds of animals live in the park. Deer are very common. You might even see a large black bear. And more than 200 kinds of birds live in Yosemite. In a place called the Mariposa Grove, visitors can see some of the largest, tallest, and oldest living things on Earth. These are the giant sequoia trees. One of these trees is called Grizzly Giant. It is more than 1,800 years old. It is almost 63 meters tall. At its base, it is 28 meters around. The old sequoia trees can make visitors feel quite small. The story of the Sierra Nevada Mountains and the area that is Yosemite National Park begins about 500 million years ago, when the area was at the bottom of an ancient sea. Scientists believe strong earthquakes forced the bottom of the sea to rise above the water. After millions of years, it was pushed up into the air to form land and mountains. At the same time, hot liquid rock from deep in the earth pushed to the surface. This liquid rock slowly cooled. This cooling liquid formed a very hard rock, known as granite.
Years and years of rain caused huge rivers to move violently through the area. Over time, these rivers cut deep into the new mountains. During the Great Ice Age, millions of tons of ice cut and shaped the cooled granite to form giant rocks. Millions of years later, these would become the giant rocks like Half Dome and El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Humans lived in the area of Yosemite for more than 4,000 years. The first people who lived there were hunters. Most were members of a tribe of Native Americans called the Miwok. A famous hunter and explorer named Joseph Walker passed through the area in the 1830s. He reported about the massive rock formations. In 1864, a United States senator called for legislation to give the Yosemite Valley to the state of California as a public park. The legislation said the valley should be preserved and protected. President Abraham Lincoln signed the bill. The event marked the first time that a government had approved a law to preserve and protect land because of its great beauty. The land was to be kept for the public to enjoy. Yosemite became the first state park. It was the first real park in the world. Then, in 1890, it became a national park. The National Park Service is responsible for the park today.
Yosemite is about 320 kilometers east of San Francisco. The small roads leading to the park pass over lower parts of the huge mountains. Then the road goes lower and lower into the Yosemite Valley. Visitors to Yosemite Park can stay in several kinds of places. Beautiful old hotels are near the park. Some are very costly. Many visitors bring tents to Yosemite and camp in the park. Visitors can walk through the beautiful valley and the mountains. There are more than 1,100 kilometers of walking paths. Some short trails take only a few minutes to walk. Others can take days to complete.
People come from all over the world to climb Yosemite's rock formations. The most famous of these is called El Capitan. Climbers call it El Cap. Climbing El Cap is only for rock climbing experts. It is difficult and dangerous. The climb is straight up the face of a rock wall. Most people take about 3 days to climb to the top of El Cap. Climbers must look for cracks in the rock. They place their hands and feet in the cracks and work their way up. They also use ropes and special equipment. From the bottom of the valley to the top of El Cap is about 1,100 meters. The climbers on El Cap must rest and sleep during the climb. They hang cloth beds or hammocks on the rocks. In 2015, two American rock climbers made history by becoming the first people to free climb El Cap's Dawn Wall. It is considered one of the hardest climbs in the world. Free climbing means climbing with little special equipment and ropes. It took them 19 days to climb all the way to the top.
In summer, Yosemite Park is filled with visitors. Large buses bring people from San Francisco to spend the day. Other visitors come by car. Some even come by bicycle. About 4 million people visit the park every year. In the winter, heavy snow falls in the Sierra Nevada Mountains and Yosemite. The snow usually begins in November. Heavy snow forces some of the roads into Yosemite to close during the winter months. The National Park Service works hard to keep most of the roads open. Winter visitors enjoy a special beauty at Yosemite. Many come to spend their time skiing at Badger Pass. It has a ski school for those who want to learn the sport. Some of the highest mountain peaks keep their snow until the last hot days of summer. But whenever visitors come to Yosemite, they experience great natural beauty in one of America's first parks.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Ashley. And that is our program for today. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.